How do you even respond to something like that?
¿Cómo aún responde usted algo así?
Do you realize what you just sang?
¿Realiza usted lo que acaba usted de decir?
Do you realize how deep the love was to you?
¿Realiza usted que tan profundo el amor era para usted?
Do you believe in how what God went through to get to you?
¿Usted cree cómo Dios a lo que pasó a través de
so he could make a way to come in you?
Para hacer un camino para venir
so he could fill you with him.
Para que él poder tenerlo con usted.
So he could change you.
Para que él lo pueda usted cambiar.
And you stop and think about it, but it changed.
Piense usted acerca de esto. Cambio.
Change what you are.
Cambiar lo que usted
change es. What you think, how you think.
Cambiar lo que
change
piensa,
what you see.
Lo que usted ve.
And give you a will.
Le ha dado una voluntad.
Think of it, brothers. Think of that love that's in those words. Let's sing it one more time, would you? Thank you, Lord. He became me so that I might become him. To sing back to you in faith. Words of life. The bread of life. Your words. Your thoughts. Your heart. Your heart for us. To do for us what we could never do ourselves. To do in us. To do through us. Father, we just bow down before your feet. Say there's nothing in us worthy except you. And your word bids us to come. It bids us to ask. To seek. That our joys might be full. It's way beyond anything human. And we try to understand it through our humanness, and we can't. So we say, take us to a higher plane in our soul where we can understand it. Spiritual things, spiritual ways, your ways. Father, we love you so much that you would do this for us. How we love you, Lord, and each time we see that you're taking away doubts, fears, and giving us a solid ground where we stand with you and your word because of you. Because of your grace, because of your mercy, we love you, Lord. Now we'd like to come to you this morning and commit this service into your hands. Father, get me out of your way, but as listeners, get them out of the way so you can speak. We're not here for anything for man. But you choose the foolishness of preaching and foolish people, fallible people. But somehow, your word gets through to your children. And that takes it above every human element into the realms of the supernatural.
A esta dimensión de lo supernatural.
So now we come to meet with you under the blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus. Have your way. Have the preeminence. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. All right. I've been spending quite a bit of time on rest. And then the Lord just has me planted there for a bit. So let's open our Bibles and then take us some text. Hebrews chapter 4. Would you stand with me again? Hey, Brother Fabio. Daniel and David, nice to see you guys. How's everything going with the babies? Everybody well? Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. Are you a believer? For we which have believed to do something, what do? We enter. Yep. There we go. Enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Well, come on, you guys. Why would he make that statement right there? If I swore, so I swear in my wrath, if they will do it. Is this important to God? Now, the question is, if this is, seems to be very important to him, is it important to me? Is it important to you? Because it seems like not an optional thing, it seems like a very critical thing. Because those who didn't enter in, didn't enter in because they didn't have the faith, and they were eternally separated from God. So is it, question, is this important or isn't it? Okay. As I have sworn in my wrath, if they will, shall enter into my rest, all the works were finished. From where? From the foundation of what? All right, now go to verse 8. For if Joshua had given them rest, that's Jesus there, but it's Jehovah's Savior, Joshua. If Jesus would have given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of what? Another day. Verse 9, read it out loud with me. There remeth therefore a rest to the people of God. Okay. And verse 10, read it out loud. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. So how important is it to God that I cease from my own works? Okay. It's critical, isn't it? Thank you. You may be seated. Now, the question is just how important is this rest? How important is a submissive and dependent walk?
Okay.
I think sometimes in our humanness, processing these things like we do, processing them, thinking them through. Because us as humans, it takes a long time to process God's word. And he speaks to us, and we get something that maybe starts a thought. And that thought starts something working inside of me. And then I go and think about some other things. And then we go back. And he reminds us again. And we think a little more. But it's a process. Okay? And this process is by the Holy Spirit.
Es por el Espíritu Santo.
But that's the way he deals with us.
Pero es de la manera como él lidia con nosotros.
But there's a time when it has to be done, finished, completed.
Tiene que ser hecho, acabado, totalmente.
And if we're looking for that rapture to be soon, then...
Y si buscamos por el rapto, que sea pronto,
entonces, but we see him doing things in us
lo miramos él haciendo cosas en nosotros,
and revealing things to us and in us
cosas a nosotros y en
because of the time we're in, because of the lateness of the hour.
En que nos encontramos.
So we see him doing things
mirándolo a él, haciendo cosas
that, quite frankly, are preparing us,
francamente, él nos está preparando,
okay, for the next step.
Para el siguiente paso.
And I'm looking around me,
estoy mirando alrededor,
watching, and I'm seeing that every single little thing is a preparation.
Y miro que cada cosa, okay, pequeña y singular es un paso.
For him to take another step inside of me.
Tomar otro paso.
For him to do what he wants to do inside of me.
Para él hacer lo que quiere hacer dentro de
now,
mí. Ahora,
those preparations,
esas preparaciones,
are not in ways that we would necessarily like.
No es en manera que necesariamente nos gusten.
Sometimes they come in different forms.
Vienen diferentes formas algunas veces.
Usually in the forms of pain or disappointments or hurts. Things that we would not choose.
Dolores, cosas que no escogeríamos.
But what does that do?
Pero que eso hace.
It drives us closer to him.
Nos empuja más cerca a él.
And that's exactly what he wants us to do.
Exactamente donde nos okay. Estemos, ¿está bien?
And I was just, and I always go in and pray with Josh before Sunday school. And we were talking about some of these things. And he said, stop and think about them. He said, look at all, again, how many times we have referred to the great men of God in Scripture. And to every single one of them, he puts them in a position where they have nothing left to stand on but the Word of God. Period. There's nothing else. There's no place else. And you can go right down the list. Open your Bible to Hebrews 11. But then Josh said something this morning.
Pero entonces, él tuvo
it's just
algo
sort
mañana,
of what I needed for the moment. Bless his heart.
Por el momento,
and he said,
y él dijo,
yeah, and which one of those men that he chose is,
en cuál de los hombres que les
was allowed to walk and follow other men?
Estaba permitido caminar y que siguiera otro
okay.
Hombre. ¿Está bien?
They all walked alone.
Ellos caminaron solo.
Who walked with Abraham?
¿Quién caminó con Abraham?
And he wouldn't even bless them until even Lot was gone. Okay.
Lot ya se había ido.
And there's something in the human condition
y algo en la condición humana
that we love fellowship,
que amamos compañerismo.
But there's a religious aspect of that.
Y hay un religioso aspecto, un
aspecto I want my people,
eso.
I want my attaboys, I want my
quiero
encouragement,
mi gente, quiero que
I want
anime.
My...
Associations,
and so that brings me back. Turn your Bibles there with me one more time to Isaiah 53. Okay, and a sermon that affected my life greatly by Brother Abraham when he preached a message entitled "A Root Out of Dry Ground." And it stopped me dead in my tracks.
Raíz,
okay. Speaking of the Lord Jesus,
hablando del Señor Jesús,
where he says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. 53, verse 2.
Subirá el cual renuevo delante de él.
Okay, as a root out of dry ground.
Y como raíz de tierra seca.
Okay, verse
3,
he's despised, he's rejected of men, he's a man of sorrows, he's acquainted with grief. Verse 7, he's oppressed, Verse 7. He's afflicted.
Es afligido.
Okay.
Está bien.
And yet he opened not his mouth.
Y no abrió su boca.
So here's God's man.
Aquí está el hombre,
okay, this is God's man, God's choice, ordained before the foundation of the world.
Antes de la fundación de
todo. Okay.
Está bien.
And here's a plant.
Y aquí está el plan.
And it's vibrant.
Y es vibrante.
And it's growing.
Y está creciendo.
Okay, but there's no roots touching the earth.
Pero no hay, no hay raíz.
Not in the ground.
No.
So all of you gardeners that love flowers and plants and vegetables, take a tomato plant and hang it in the air, Pam. And just watch what that does. Okay?
So
he's saying he's not allowing this plant to absorb any nutrients, any aid, any help, any life, anything from anything of this realm. Oh, come on. Stop and think about that. So he says, look at that. I'm looking. Yes, the beginning of verse 2. Read it out loud with me. For he shall grow up before him. Who else is he growing up before? He's growing up before his father. Totally dependent on the father. It's Jesus and the father, and there's nobody else. And we get very offended if I can't take my church, my friends, my this, my that. I got to have my associates. And I need them. And yet here are these men of God that he separates, and he brings them to himself. And he says, you can't depend on anybody but me. So he, when he might do that to us, we might go kicking and screaming and say, something's wrong, I don't like this. But it might very well be the hand of the Lord saying, no, I'm very selfish. Okay? Well, doesn't God say many times, I'm a jealous God? Is he not jealous over us? Okay? And, well, I got my affection spread all over the place. Well, in a certain way, that's fine. Love everybody.
That's what
we're put on earth to do. Be a light to everybody. But your life isn't, it's for everybody. But listen to this, it's not from everybody. It's for everybody. But it's not from everybody. And you need to quit drawing strength from people and come to the Lord where he has. So, again, the question is, how important is all of this to us? So now we go to Hebrews again, and now we're going to start in Hebrews 10. Okay? And the title, if you want to have an electronic device to follow along, it's, I just sent it this morning to you. And the name of this morning, just so you have an idea of my thought content, is taken from Isaiah 58, verse 12. And he says, he's the restorer of paths to dwell in. Okay, that's our Lord. And that's what he's doing. And that's what he's doing right now. He's restoring paths that he wants us to dwell in. Okay, so Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to read, start with verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Hebrews 10. Verse 4. Okay. Go ahead.
Porque la sangre de los toros y los machos cabríos no pueden quitar los pecados.
Okay, for when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body you have prepared for me.
Por lo cual entrando en el mundo dice sacrificio y ofrenda no quisiste, mas no mas me preparaste cuerpo.
In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou had no pleasure.
Holocaustos y expiaciones por el pecado no te agradaron.
Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God.
Entonces dije, he aquí que vengo con Dios para hacer tu voluntad.
Above when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come in to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he might establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Is this new to anybody? Common ground, isn't it? Old ground. Oh, come on. Why are you doing this? Okay? Who doesn't know this? Who doesn't know this passage? Okay. Look at verse 1. And I want you to notice something here. Okay, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. I want you to look at that word perfect. And I want you to notice how many times in the book of Hebrews it's used. Coming to perfection, coming to perfection, being made perfect. Okay, we can't come into his presence, chapter 9. We can't, well, our conscience is nothing there to perfect our conscience. Okay, so chapter 10, okay, the law couldn't purge our conscience.
La ley no podría limpiar su conciencia.
So, in what's God doing?
¿Qué está Dios haciendo?
He's bringing many sons to glory.
Él está trayendo sus hijos a gloria.
Okay, go to chapter 12.
Vaya Hebreos 12.
What do we see there?
¿Qué miramos ahí?
Okay, verse
23. Versículo 23.
We're called to the general assembly, to the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Okay. And to God, the judge of all.
A Dios, el juez de todos.
And to the spirits
a los espíritus
of just men made what?
De los justos hechos que?
So some,
perfectos.
The thing that he's calling us to, he's perfecting spirits of men.
Son, espíritus perfectos.
Okay.
¿Está bien?
That's a small s there. So that somehow that spirit is going to be what God intended it to be when he created Adam. A channel of the Holy Ghost so that my conscience is his conscience, my reasoning is his reasoning, my affections are his affections, my memories are his memories. Are you with me? Okay, now we go to chapter 13. Look at verse 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the... Chapter 13, verse 20.
Y Dios de paz que resucitó de los muertos a nuestro Señor Jesucristo, el gran pastor de las ovejas, por la sangre del pacto eterno.
Okay, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant.
A través.
What is the work of the blood of the everlasting covenant, according to chapter 8 and chapter 10?
Capítulo 8, ¿cuál es?
Writing his word in my mind and in my heart.
Su palabra en mi corazón y en mi mente.
So through that, he's going
so
to do something.
Eso, él va a hacer algo.
Read it out loud with me. What's he going to do?
Que él va a hacer.
Verse 21.
Versículo 20.
Make you what?
Lo va a hacer que, apto.
In every good what?
En toda obra que, bueno.
Now that goes beyond my soul.
Eso va más allá de mi alma.
Does that go beyond your soul if it's talking about my work is going to be perfect?
Más allá de su palabra.
So my soul is going to affect and have its place so that even my actions and the things that he does is going to be This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Okay? And all of a sudden he's going to say, these are my beloved sons in whom I am well pleased. Look at what is going on. He made them perfect in their spirits. Then make you perfect in every good. Oh, what does that good work do? Make you perfect in every good work to do what? What's it say? To do what? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Dios mío.
Where have we been talking?
¿De qué hemos estado hablando?
What does Brother Branham say?
The
Holy Spirit told him to pick up his pen and write. Is it scriptural?
Cuando le dijo,
it's absolutely scriptural. Always is. Perfect word.
Absolutamente perfecto. Todo el tiempo lo es.
Come on, you guys. Now, where is the Holy Spirit leading us? Where is he taking us? Why is he taking us that place now? What does it have to do with me being rapture ready, resurrection ready, make you perfect to do his will? What's the next phrase? What's the next phrase?
Working who?
Oh, you're just going to do it yourself. He is working in you. This perfection to make every work that I do perfect, to do his will. Okay, working in you that which is what? Well-pleasing. Oh, there you are. Sons in the image of the firstborn son. Romans chapter 8, true or not true? Are you with me? So what is the whole book of Hebrews constantly building to the work of the Holy Spirit, the work of the blood of Jesus, the work of redemption, working in something, me bringing me to a place that in my human mind would never even go there? This is impossible. It can't be done. And you guys who think you are nuts and religious fanatics, but the Bible talks about it all the way through. Okay, so do you see the importance of what we're talking about? They that believe enter into this rest. My rest is ceasing from my own works. Okay, and allowing him to do his. So here, let's go back. Let's look at Jesus. Hebrews 10 again. Okay. What's he always in Hebrews? You're always going back to Israel. And you're always going back to their journey, their plight, their mistakes. Okay. So here, they accepted a law when they shouldn't have accepted a law. True or not true? Okay. So they wanted something. Why did they want a law? Come on. Why did they want a law? They had to have something into it. Okay. I got to have something. I got to have. Why do you have to have something into it? Because you want a little bit of credit.
Porque tú quieres un poquito de crédito.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sí.
The human comes up pretty ugly, doesn't it? That's why the root had to be out of dry ground.
Mm-hmm.
He had to be of no comeliness that anybody would desire him. You know, Brother Abraham makes a statement. Who created that body of Jesus? Who did? Now, he created each one of us before the foundation of the world. True or not true? Okay. Now, Philippians, he made himself of no reputation. Correct? And you would die trying to protect your reputation, each one of you. Your reputation is very important to you. You want to be well thought of. Come on, we're humans.
Somos humanos, piense.
You want to be appreciated.
Usted quiere ser apreciado.
You want to be liked.
¿Quiere estar vivo?
But he made him the opposite, and he gave him a body and created a body that we wouldn't look at and nothing attract us to it whatsoever. Now, which one of you would make a body like that for you by choice? But he did. Right? So here is this man that's so unique, so supernatural, so wonderful, so beyond comprehension, because even after all of these years, each one of us is saying, oh my, my Lord Jesus, how I love him. I love him more and more. The more I see him, the more I love him. The more I see him, the more I love him, the more I want him. Okay, so here is this man, and he is created in such a way, not to the world, actually repugnant to the world, but loved of God. Okay? So, and of all the things that God is doing, again, taking us to this place where he can finish a work in us, one thing is required, and that's what we're reading. Okay, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not.
Sacrificio, ofrenda, no quisistes.
Okay, what is sacrifice?
¿Qué sacrificio?
Something you do, something you... What is an offering?
¿Qué es una ofrenda?
Something you give.
Algo que usted da.
Well, it makes you feel good about it.
Bueno, lo hace a usted sentir bien acerca de ello.
What does he say?
¿Qué él está diciendo acerca
your
de
sacrifice and your offerings don't mean a thing to me.
Tus sacrificios y tus ofrendas no significan okay. nada para mí. ¿Está bien?
Then he says it again,
verse 6.
Read it in verse 6. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, what?
Holocaustos y ofrendas por el pecado no te agradaron.
Then go to verse 8. For when sacrifices and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not. Is he trying to get a point across? What point is he trying to get to me? And yet I am so dull of hearing, it takes most of my life. I'm 76, almost 77 years old. Finally, he's opening this to me. Okay? In bringing many sons to glory, many born ones, not just sons, ones that are born, that's that word there, to become a finished work of redemption. God required one thing. One thing that he's looking for, one thing he's looking at, one thing, and that's himself coming in the form of son, completely dedicated, totally committed, totally submitted to do his will and nothing else. There it is. All of redemption hinged on this, that attitude, that heart. And that's the only thing that could have done it. And if that is the only thing that could have done it for redemption, how about me and you coming to this rapture? You seen why I'm on this so much? It just keeps coming out and coming out and coming out. Now, verse 4, it's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats. Verse 5, when he cometh into the world, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. Verse 8, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings thou wouldest not. Neither had pleasure therein. No, no pleasure. I don't like it. There's one thing he likes. What is it that he likes? This is what he likes. Okay, verse 5, last half, a body you have prepared for me. Verse 7, read it out loud with me. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written me, to do thy will, O God. That meant everything. That is the word. That is the heart. That is the attitude. That's what he looked for and couldn't find, because Adam was the disobedient son. He had to have a son of obedience. Adam was designed. Wasn't Adam's fault. He had to be that way. He had to fall in disobedience so God could show his redemption. But God showed his redemption. Now, to fulfill that redemption, he had to have something else, a total obedient son. And this is what he was looking for. I come to do thy will, O God. And above, when he says sacrifice for burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein, which were offered by the law. Now, verse 9 is phenomenal. So start to read it out loud with me. Then said he, Lo, I come to do the will. What did he say? That's the second time he says it. Lo, I come to do thy will. And when that happens, here's a man, and I'm coming to do your will. That's the thing that turns the corner. That's the thing that changes dispensations. Is a man submissive? I'm here, Father. I can't listen to any man. I can't draw anything from any man. I can't draw any strength. I can't draw any health. I can't draw any nutrients. I'm here before you as this tender plant, and I'm listening to your voice alone. And there's only one thing that means anything to me, your voice, your will. And I'll read the second half out loud with me of verse 7. Okay, he taketh away the first that he might establish the second. There it is. It's because of that. The new covenant is because he found a man. He created a man. He gave birth to a man in his own image. And he's taken me, and he's taken you. We sang it, didn't we? He became you that you might become him. And we, many sons, into the image of the firstborn son. And that son had one heart and one will, and these sons were going to have the same heart and the same will. Are you with me? But I'm asking you again. Is this optional? Is this just a good idea? Is this being religious? Or is this a necessity? To have that same heart, to have that same will, to have that same attitude. Okay. Now, it's even gets something else. Look at the first few words. First four words of verse 10. What does it say? By what? By the what? What will? What will is he talking about? What will is he talking about in verse 10? What he came to do. What was that? Redemption. Salvation.
Salvación.
Restoration.
Restauración.
Taking us back.
Llevándonos de regreso.
One Adam, a whole world full of Adams on a new earth, right?
Somos muchos Adanes,
okay.
Nuevo,
what does it say?
¿Qué dice?
Verse 10, read those first four words again. Yes. By the which will we're sanctified. You know, isn't it interesting how the enemy can just... It just blows my mind. How many denominations? Oh, the blood of Jesus. We love it. And it is the blood of Jesus. It is. But what's behind the blood? What caused him to give the blood? This. That will. By which will we are sanctified. Not by the blood, but by the will that did it, that there was a man that came to him and said, I come to do your will, O God. By the which will we are sanctified. Doesn't that blow your mind? By the which will In verse 9, he takes away the old covenant and brings the second covenant. By that will, by that heart, by that thing, I've finally I got my man. I created him, I birthed him, and here he is, and he's doing this, and he has my heart. Are you with me? Now, this is exactly Romans. Yeah. Romans 5, isn't it? Two verses there, just for quickness. Romans 5. We'll go to verse 12. Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. Okay. And then let's go to one more verse. Verse 19. For 5:19. Okay. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, because he was disobedient. Now look at what the next, read that out loud with me, the next phrase. So by one, the obedience of what? The obedience of one. By the obedience of one. Father, I come to do your will. The Father can do nothing, the Son can do nothing but without the Father. I'm asking you again, oh, that's nice. Oh, that was for Jesus. How about for me? And how about for you? Is this, oh, it's a nice thing. Oh, it's sort of a spiritual thing. Oh, we like thing. But you know, I see so many things, and I see what needs to be done, and God's not doing it. So I'm going to help him out. And there we are, and you're in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. I lost my confidence, and I lost my rejoicing in him. So I'm going to have confidence in something else. I'm going to have confidence in what I do. I'm going to have, because God's leading me, I'm going to have confidence and rejoicing in my programs. Look at how good they are. Church ages. The seed falls into the ground and dies. Yeah. How does it end up? He's not even there. What did they do? Oh, they built great things, great programs, didn't they? How many times do I say this? What can you do without Jesus? Anything you want. And most people do. Most people do. Find the one. Find the one that says, I can do nothing until my Father leads me. Find it! Well, look at you just sitting like a bump on the lung. You're not doing anything. Well, Jesus, look at all these people that need healing. Look at all the ones you walked over. What's the matter with you? Why didn't you have a heart for the other ones? They might have had needs more than the man he went to and he raised up, right? I come to do thy will, O Lord. But he didn't argue with him. And he didn't say, don't you see? Obviously, you're not seeing what I'm seeing. He had complete and absolute confidence and trust in Father, that the Father will point exactly to the one. And I'll go to that one, and that's the Father's will, and that's all that matters. Do you see how contrary to everything human this is?
Huh?
And I'm asking again this morning, how important is this? Yeah. Okay. Now this total submission and commitment is prophesied to come to others. Where we've been, and I keep going back and more because more just keeps coming out. Okay, So where were we last time? We'll go right back there. Isaiah 58. Okay. Where is the prophecy?
¿Dónde está profetizado?
And we go through six through the end of the chapter. But there's something very interesting here.
Pero aquí hay algo muy interesante.
That it brings in fasting. Well, what does fasting have to do with resting? And why would he bring in, the Lord bring in fasting when it comes to Sabbath? When people are fasting, are they working? Not usually. And if you look in the scriptures, and I'm not going to do it just out of time,
but
just there's several of them you can look up. But Jeremiah 36, 5 and 6, Jeremiah sent Baruch to the Lord's house upon a fasting day. Everybody was gathered. They were out in the fields. They weren't in the markets. They weren't selling. They weren't trading. They were in the house of God. Praying. Okay, so normally fasting, you know, Cornelius fasting and praying, okay, until the ninth hour. He's not out there in the fields. He's not commanding his servants. He set aside a time for the Lord. Okay, so here we go. Now, all of a sudden, so resting, according to Hebrews 4, as we've said many times, he's not talking about quitting and not doing anything. He's saying, quit, cease from your own works. Cease from your own works. So that's the focus. So you still might be doing something, but it's not you. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live.
Yet not,
but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay. It's him. It's not me, it's him. It's not me, it's Christ in me. I cease from my works, but he's doing his. Isaiah 58:6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free? To break every yoke, to deal thy bread to the country, bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out of thy house. When you see the naked, that you cover him. Where did you see this? This is Luke chapter 4. This is the ministry of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I come to do your will, O God. I'm here to set the captives free. And here is a man totally ceased from his own works. Okay, not interested in any opinions, not interested in any ideas, not interested in any voices, but one voice, and that's God's. Okay, I'm here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to heal the sick, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. And what did God say? This is a fast. Huh? This is the fast I have chosen. That's God's chosen. That's God's fasting. That's God's way. Because I've looked at this so many times. Jesus just started his ministry. Okay, he goes to Nazareth. All right? He knows what's ahead of him. What's ahead of him? Pain.
Dolor.
Rejection.
Rechazo.
Heartache. humiliation? Is he going to be born, die of a broken heart?
¿Va a morir de un corazón roto?
What kind of pain? Physical pain?
¿Qué tipo de dolor?
Heart
dolor
pain?
Físico,
emotional pain?
Emocional.
Okay. Now this is a fast.
Ahora, este es un ayuno.
Because here is a man who sets aside everything of self.
Que ha puesto todo de él a un lado.
And Derek, if you just learned that all of this was ahead of you, okay? And the Lord says, now I want you to go here. Lay aside everything of self. Okay? And don't ask for any attaboys. Because if you were in that position, you would be seeking out an ear. Oh, don't you see? I just need someone to understand. I'm desperate for someone I can talk to.
That,
oh, brother Juan, I don't know how you're doing it. How can you bear all that? Right? How can you carry the weight of all of this? And he laid aside every ounce of humanity and said to people, I'm here for you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to set you free. And that's the fast. Because there was no human element. It was supernatural in every kind of way that he could do that and that he did do it and that he's wonderful too for doing it. And he's fulfilling Scripture right there doing it. Look at verse 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Isn't that what happened to Israel?
Huh?
Was that not fulfilled when the fast was performed by the man, the Lord Jesus?
Huh?
Okay. Yeah. Then he says to all of us, do you want to fast? Do you want? Then thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If you take away from the midst of thee the yoke, don't put burdens on people. Release them from their burdens.
No ponga carga sobre la gente, libérelos de las cargas.
What's the next phrase? The pointing forth of the finger. Look at.
Oh, mira.
Yeah. Pointing finger and speak vanity. Your own words, your own thoughts.
Tus propios pensamientos, tus propias palabras.
If you draw your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as a noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Sounds like somebody drenched in the Spirit of God, doesn't it? Sounds like somebody walking in the presence of the Almighty, who has nothing to fear because he knows God's with it. But it's the nature of Christ. Okay? It's the nature of Jesus. It's the nature that brings forth these promises. Okay? Verse 12. Okay. And notice the word they is in parentheses. They shall be of thee. The Lord and his family shall build the old waste places. Okay, look at this. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called, look at this, the repairer of the breach. Is that the attitude that brings a restoration and relationship between man and God? That there's no separation because the Spirit of God is so heavy upon him? The Spirit of God is so heavy in him? living a life of fasting, denying self, but giving to everybody else. Okay, the repairer of the breach. What's the next phrase? The restorer of paths. There you go. That's the title of my sermon today. Through all of this, through all of these scriptures, this is what the Holy Spirit is saying to me and you today. Phil, this is the name of my sermon, The Restorer of Paths to Dwell In. Okay, and here it is. And we read it, and we'll keep reading it. Because this takes us right back to Hebrews, and the spirits of just men made perfect. Okay, and I delight to do thy will, O God, and sons having the same will. Hebrews 13, through the blood of the covenant, make you perfect, finish your work in every good work to do His will. Same heart as their Lord. Okay, now here we're right back to the Sabbath. Okay, and it's Hebrews chapter 4 that we were reading, and this is the rest that you rest from, cease from your own works as God did His. So back to Hebrews 58:13-14 again. If you turn away thy foot from the Sabbath. No, I'm back in Isaiah 58, brother. Yeah. 13 and 14. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure, from doing thy pleasure. Did you hear that? From doing thy pleasure. Oh, come on, you guys. Doing thy pleasure. We're human. You say, how can you do that? How can I cease? Him working in you, that is well-pleasing. Do you have to remind God, hey, you got to fulfill your word? Come on. I'm counting on you. Do you have to remind Him of that? Isn't that what He is? Isn't that what He does? He's just looking for a heart that says, I believe, then it comes in me. Right? Okay. From doing thy pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight. Ceasing from my own works is a delight, Lord. Okay. The holy of the Lord, honorable. Now look at the next phrase. What's it say? And shall honor Him. What does it say? Read it out loud. Shall honor Him, not doing thine own way. Oh, yeah. How can we do that? If I'm not doing my own ways, I'm honoring Him. Does this sound like the heart of Jesus? I come to do thy will, O God. Does this sound like a root out of dry ground? Huh? There's no form in this world, but I have one heart and one thought and one thing that drives me, your heart, Father, and that's it. Think of this, brothers. Okay? Let's read that again, starting on that phrase. Would you read it out? And thou shalt. And shall honor Him, not doing thine own. What's the next phrase say? Nor finding what? Yeah. Is that sort of heavy? Who can do it? God can. Mm-hmm. Now, what's the last phrase? Nor speaking the...
No.
So, ways, pleasure, and words. There's the Sabbath. Oh! What's the next word? So the very next word in chapter 14. Verse 14. Then. What do you mean then? Why does that word then there? Because It's a result of what? Honoring the Lord, not doing my own ways, not finding my own pleasure, not speaking my own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. Oh, how many people, you know, Proverbs 3, delight thyself in the Lord and he will give thee, Psalm 37, delight thyself in the Lord. Oh, yeah, I delight myself in the Lord.
Oh, sí, yo
let's go do my thing. Let's go do my ways. Let's
Vamos
go speak my own words.
Cosa,
this sort of puts a counter to that, doesn't it?
Amen.
Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord.
En
oh, but look at the promises, little bride. Yeah, here's the bride. And here's where she flies. Flies with Mama Eagle in different places. Read it out loud, and I will cause, I will, what's the word? Cause thee. I will what? Who's doing it? It's God's work. I will cause thee to what? Ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Oh, my goodness. Okay, just a few things here. God,
Dios,
our God,
nuestro Dios,
the Eternal,
el Eterno,
our Father,
nuestro Padre,
the one true living God,
el Dios verdadero,
is absolutely and unchanging and unchangeable,
incambiable,
being absolutely true to himself. Being absolutely true to himself.
Absolutamente verdadero él mismo.
Scripture refers to him in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse
9.
He's called the faithful God.
Lo llaman como el Dios fiel.
What is he faithful?
Que es fiel.
He's faithful to himself.
Él es fiel a él mismo.
He's faithful to his own nature.
A su propia naturaleza.
He's faithful to his word.
Fiel a su
he cannot be anything else
él
than
no
what
puede
he
ser
is.
Nada más que de lo que él es.
Man's not like that. We can be chameleons. We can be changeable. I can change with whom I'm around for comfort's sake, right? Not God. He can't change anything. Okay, he's faithful to his children. So when he gave birth to the Logos that came out from him, he said this, Hebrews chapter 1. Okay, the whole first chapter of Hebrews, he's speaking of his son. He says, and being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by an inheritance or obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels saith he at any time, okay, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father. So here is God. Know how Brother Branham gives that description, standing on the banister, looking out before there was a star. And he says, a little light begins to form. Hebrews chapter 1, God gives birth to the Son, the Logos. And there's that Logos. And the Father says to that Logos, I will be to him a father, and that shall be my son. And what's the difference between that and the Father? There is none except sons have beginnings. Right? So here is the Son in the nature of the Father who is absolutely true to himself and cannot be anything. So I question, even in nature, if you plant a pumpkin seed, David, what are you going to expect?
Huh?
And you usually get a picture on that little seed package because there's lots of varieties of pumpkins, and you expect to see a pumpkin that looks exactly like the picture, right?
Okay.
Whether it's a tomato, okay, or a cucumber or whatever it is. So God planting and bringing forth himself has to be exactly the same. So how could that which came
¿Cómo puede
out from him be of another nature than him?
De él fuera de otra naturaleza, que
the faithful God,
el Dios fiel,
true to himself,
verdadero a él mismo,
true to his nature,
a su naturaleza,
true to his word,
a su palabra,
so the true son can say no other,
el hijo no puede decir
the true son
cosa,
can say no other,
verdadero hijo no puede decir
than I come to do thy will, O God.
He venido a hacer tu voluntad, oh Dios.
So to the son, he says in verses 8 and 9,
en versículos 8 y 9,
but unto the son, he says, thy throne, O God.
Dice,
think of that.
Oh Dios.
No, I've seen people do all kinds of loops saying, because the Son isn't God, he's the Son of God. It's very true. Okay? So they'll come out of all kinds of things, try to explain this in a different way, but God says it this way. But unto the Son, he says, thy throne, O God. Now God begets God. His Son, who is the same in everything as the Father, except he has a beginning. But this Son has a God. God doesn't have a God. But the Son has a God. So he's automatically submissive by nature, the faithful God, faithful to what he is. He can't be anything else. Okay, are you with me? God has no God. Okay, but unto the Son he says, okay, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Scepter of righteousness. Okay, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. See, what came out of me has the same nature as me. It has the same loves as me. It has the same hates as me. It has the same everything as me.
Okay?
So, thou hast loved righteousness, hated iniquity, therefore God, even thy God. So this God has a God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Okay, so look at the beauty of all of this. God gives birth to his Son and has perfect trust in his Son to place all things into his hands. And the Son has perfect trust in his Father and can do nothing else but his perfect will. Now he is calling called out ones. And they're going to dwell in a place and ruling and reigning with Christ because they have the same nature. They have the same heart. They have the same attributes. They have the same everything. You're going to sleep. I'll close. Okay? We'll get into that next time. He is building his nature in them, word upon word, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, revelation upon revelation. So when Jesus in Matthew 11:28, musicians, would you come? Come unto me, all ye that labor are okay, labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you shall find rest what? To your souls. It's a soul rest. It's a soul rest. It's a soul rest. You're all wandering around. It's a soul rest. It's a soul rest. It's a soul rest. You shall find rest to your souls. Okay? You shall find rest to your souls. He says, take my yoke upon me, learn of me. He says, come to me. He says, I am meek and lowly of heart. What is the word for meek? We've studied it so many times. Totally dependent. There he is. Learn of me. Learn from me because I am totally dependent on the Father. There you go. So isn't it interesting? I've done Bible studies on this. I've been wanting Everything that the Father asks of the Son, the Son asks of us. I want you to think about that. Do you remember those Bible studies we did? What did Jesus, Father, in John chapter 14, I come at your command. I come, okay, because I love the Father. Let's go. Let's head to the Calvary. As the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Jesus turns to you, today, and he says, you want to follow me? Take up your cross. Die to yourself. God told him to bear a cross. Jesus tells you to bear a cross, right? John 5:19, I can do nothing without the Father. John 15, Jesus looks at you and me, and he says, you know what? Without me, you can't do nothing. Do you see it? Watch that pattern throughout all of the scriptures. Okay? So here we are, one last scripture. In Matthew 12, Jesus is talking, and he's talking to the to the masses and talking to the people. And they say, well, hey, look at his mother and his brothers are here. He's just a man. He's just like us. And he answered and said to them, who's my mother? Where are my brethren? And he stretched his hand towards his disciples. Yeah, because he knew they would become apostles. And he knew that they would all be together. But when they had the word established inside of them, where did they go? And who did they go with? They were all sent out individually all across the world, known world at that time, right? They went. Who'd they go with? Nobody. Think of that. Just where we started from today. That each one had the same heart as Jesus. Without me, you can do nothing. Because that's what their master told them. And that's what he tells us. So Jesus points to his disciples and says, who's my brothers? And then he defines that. And he says, those who will do the will of my Father. There you go. They're my brothers. Those who do my Father's will. Okay? Do you see how perfect the Word of God is? And do you see how perfect our prophet is? So when he says, notice the harmony, okay, that existed between the Father and the Son. Father, I can't do one thing without you. Jesus says to you, you can't do one thing without me. So the prophet, the Spirit of God, says this harmony is now to exist between the groom and his bride. Who wants to be bride? Is that true? So I'm going to ask you again where we started from the very beginning. How important is this? Ceasing from your own works. How important is this? I can't do nothing without the Father. It's going to happen in a bride. Whoever that bride is. Yeah. It's his work. It's what he's doing. It's the work of redemption. All right. Did y'all get that? That's pretty simple. I come to do thy will, and it wasn't the blood itself, it was the will that made the blood possible, by the which will. And that will, that same will, to do only the Father's will, is going to be in his bride. You with me? Okay. All right. Well, first of all, let's sing Galatians 2:20. Would you stand with me? How many of you remember that old song? It's in the white books behind the black books, I'm sure. But you know the scripture, I'm crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, not yet I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, loved me and gave himself for me. Sing it again. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, and gave. Okay, and he became me. Let's sing what we started with today, because that's what we'll end with. He became me, so going your own ways, not doing your own, finding your own pleasure, not speaking your own words, then you shall delight thyself in the Lord. He will cause thee to ride on the high places of the heavens. I'm asking you, how important? Well, if you don't have a bright heart, it's not important at all. True or not true? But if you have that heart, it's your life. Nobody can rip it away from you. Lord, I want to be totally dependent, because that's what you made me to do. Okay, brother, would you close?
Thank you, Lord.